This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be doing a bit of manager watch. Quite a few managers under a significant amount of pressure. Which one of those might leave their jobs in the near future and who could be the men to replace them? We'll also be talking about an England squad for the Euros. Interesting looking at some of the predicted squads for the Euros 4 or 5 years ago and how much they have changed over the last 4 or 5 years. Who has kind of come out of the limelight, who was in the spotlight 4 or 5 years ago and who now has risen to a place in the England squad. We'll also be talking more in depth this afternoon about Liverpool, Tottenham and Southampton. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So that number again, 0208 70 20 558. If you want to share your views here on the Premier League Fan Show, we'll be talking about Liverpool, Tottenham and Southampton all to come in this next hour. Firstly, let's talk about some of the managers, because it's no surprise that Premier League managers from pretty much the first 4 or 5 games of the season come under a huge amount of pressure. And obviously there has been a little bit of movement in the Premier League, more so in the Championship actually this season than there has been in the Premier League so far. But obviously Watford made the early change, going from Javi Gracia to Quique Sanchez Flores. But everyone else seemingly, for the time being, is sticking with what they've got. But I don't think that is going to last much longer, although if you're going to change a manager in the near future, this felt like the time to do it. For example, Unai Emery, he has been given the backing, in inverted commas, by the Arsenal board, the support of the Arsenal hierarchy, but that he is hanging by a very thin thread, and the results over these next few weeks could determine whether he stays with it and keeps his job or whether they decide to make a change. But this, we are coming into a crunch time. We talked about it yesterday in the Championship Fan Show, how it is so close in the table, but I don't think that's going to be the case in 7 weeks' time. In the Premier League as well, that these next 7 or 8 weeks, really up until the middle of January, will determine what sort of a trajectory your season is going to go down, where you might end up by the end of the season, because we are going to go through a very intense, very busy part of the season where we have a lot of games in a very short period of time, and that's what the festive period always brings us. So if you're going to make the change, there's no point making that change in 3 weeks' time, because you're going to then have to quickly find a new manager whilst the games are coming thick and fast every 3 or 4 days. This was your time. If you have any doubts about the manager and you're thinking whether someone else might do a better job, this was your opportunity to do it. This is the third international break of the season. We don't have another one until March. This was the time to make that change. So it seems strange, actually, that none of the Premier League sides have decided to pull the trigger now, because there are a considerable number of managers under pressure, whether it be Unai Emery at Arsenal, whether it be Mauricio Pochettino at Tottenham, whether it be Marco Silva at Everton, whether it be Manuel Pellegrini at West Ham, whether it be Ralf Hasenhüttl at Southampton. There is a lot of pressure on a number of managers, and no one has decided to make that change, which I think is a bit of a change from what we have seen in the last few seasons, where it seemingly is becoming more and more short-termism and clubs deciding to make the change faster every single season. This season maybe has been a slight change. Javi Gracia lost his job after just 4 games of the season, but maybe that was also to do with the tail end of last season. But no more managers have gone, which is a bit of a surprise. Some of the reports in the papers this morning suggesting that West Ham could be preparing a change, that Manuel Pellegrini is in dangerous waters. And it didn't seem that long ago that people were kind of praising West Ham quite a lot after the first 6 games. West Ham were just around or just below the top four. You fast forward to 12 games in the season now. They've lost 4 of the last 5 and they are in 16th on 13 points. And the outlook for West Ham looks very, very different. They've also been dealt the blow that Manuel Lanzini is going to be out until the new year. with injury. So they're having to deal with a few little bits and bobs, a few injuries here and there. And the reports this morning suggesting Rafa Benitez could be the man to replace Manuel Pellegrini. Now, he obviously signed a huge contract, £12 million a year at Dalian Yifan over in China in the summer. And you would imagine, unless they were willing to just allow him to walk, that's going to be a huge amount of compensation that West Ham would have to pay for him. I just think it shows how fickle sometimes football can be. It was only 6 games ago that Pellegrini would have been praised for what he was doing. Yet, going through a bad run, suddenly a lot of the West Ham fans, and I mean a lot of them, are turning on him. I don't imagine there is a particularly large number of West Ham fans that are still backing Pellegrini, and that just seems wrong, really. And it's the way that football is nowadays, that you go through a bad patch and suddenly it's the manager's fault and the manager has to go. Now, if this run continues, then for the next month or two, then you can ask that question seriously. But I don't really get how Pellegrini can go from 5 weeks ago being flavour of the month, doing a really good job at West Ham, to suddenly being terrible and needing to be sacked. Would Benitez do a solid job at West Ham? Yes, he would. He would do a good job at West Ham. But I don't know whether changing it now, whether getting rid of Pellegrini is the answer. I don't think it is. And it may be that West Ham win the next couple of games, and I bet you then West Ham fans will be jubilant about things again. So it's the fickle nature of football. Tottenham as well, lots of reports in the papers. Last week we spoke to Flav from the Fighting Cock, who said that he didn't really believe the reports in the media, that it's very easy just to say these comments without any real backing to it. But again, rumours in the papers, both in the Telegraph and the Times today. On the back of the Times, Spurs eyeing Pochettino replacement. Tottenham Hotspur are considering the RB Leipzig head coach Julian Nagelsmann as a potential replacement for Mauricio Pochettino should he leave the club. In the Telegraph, Pochettino crunch talks revealed. Tottenham manager's future in doubt after Levy meeting. That it does seem like it is the beginning of the end. There's a feeling that it's a question of when he leaves, not if. A big question for Daniel Levy to answer is, would he be willing to pay potentially Pochettino £12.5 million to sack him? They might come towards some sort of compromise, but that is rumoured to be the fee that would have to be paid to Pochettino if he were to be sacked. Now, I seriously doubt that Daniel Levy would be willing to do that, considering he doesn't exactly spend a lot of money in the transfer window. I can't imagine he'd be willing to give £12.5 million to sack Pochettino. But it does feel like a matter of time. I don't think there's any chance that he will be in charge next season. And so the attention turns to who could replace him. And so many names, so many different names as well, which is rather intriguing about this shortlist, is that you've got the younger manager. You've got Julian Nagelsmann at Leipzig that we just mentioned. You've got Eddie Howe at Bournemouth. And then you've got kind of the more experienced names, Carlo Ancelotti at Napoli, Jose Mourinho out of a job, Massimiliano Allegri, who's currently doesn't have a job. So lots of big questions there for Tottenham to answer. We'll be talking Tottenham later in the hour, but it does feel like a matter of time when Mauricio Pochettino goes, not if he goes, and the question then goes to who is going to replace him. Also, let's talk a little bit about England. Obviously, they secured their place at next year's Euros. They'll be amongst the top 6 seeds at Euro 2020. Gareth Southgate has been saying casting doubt over whether he will still be in charge at the 2022 World Cup, whether he feels enough warmth. I'm not really buying that. I'm sure if he gets paid enough, I think he would continue doing that. But the interesting question is the squad for the Euros. And I mentioned how I saw some of the journalists at the BBC in 2015, I think it was, were predicting, or in 2016, what the squad might look like in 2020. And it's always really intriguing to find out what people think might be the squad in 4 years' time, trying to predict what it's going to be, because you know you're going to be wrong in certain cases, because there are going to be players at that time who are in good form that then fall out of form, and players that emerge, young players that simply weren't around 5 years ago. And it had Joe Hart in goal, it had Eric Dyer at centre-back, it had Jack Wilshere and Ross Barkley alongside Jordan Henderson in midfield, it had Nathan Redmond in a front three with Harry Kane and Raheem Sterling. So it does show how things change. But the big question is as to the makeup of the 23 that Gareth Southgate is going to go with. And I think most of the squad picks itself. I think you can probably say about 18 or 19, I think, at this moment in time, are pretty much set in stone. I think Pickford and Pope in goal are guaranteed. It's the case of who's the third. Is it Tom Heaton or Dean Henderson? I think I'd go with the experience Heaton over Henderson. And I wouldn't say there's necessarily a massive difference in terms of performance, the quality as players, but I think experience at this moment in time would perhaps be more useful. In defence, most of it picks itself, but it's a case of probably who the backup fullbacks are and who the sort of third, fourth centre-backs are. I think at right-back, Trent is the number one. I would personally have Aaron Wan-Bissaka as the backup, not Kieran Trippier. I think Wan-Bissaka is a better defender, and is a better player. So I'd personally have him over Trippier, and it is another sign of how things have dramatically changed from 18 months ago when Trippier scored in the World Cup semi-final. Things do change from there. At centre-back, I think it's probably going to be Maguire, Stones, Gomez and Mings, I think is probably what it's going to be. Other players in with a shout for Keo Tomori, James Tarkowski, Ben Mee, Connor Cody. It does feel a bit harsh on someone like James Tarkowski to not have been given more of a go in an England shirt. And I'm still of the opinion Keo Tomori may turn out to be a world-class centre-back. He may do, and he may prove me wrong. But at this moment, he's not. And if he wasn't playing for Chelsea, he wouldn't be in this England squad. And James Tarkowski, if he played for Chelsea, he would be. If you swap their roles, Tarkowski's name would be in the England squad and Tomori's wouldn't. So that's interesting. At left-back, Chilwell is the definite starting one. I cannot for the life of me choose Danny Rose. There is no way, if I am Gareth Southgate, I'm taking Danny Rose to the World Cup. Sorry, to the Euros. And I'd pick Luke Shaw, even though there are big concerns over his fitness in midfield. I think most of it picks itself. Henderson, Maddison, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Mount, Rice, Winks. And then there's a potential another option if you want to. Could someone like Ruben Loftus-Cheek, when he's back fit, could he force his way into contention? Phil Foden is one of the interesting ones, because if he can get game time, which I seriously doubt this season at Manchester City because of, well, I say the array of talent. Phil Foden is quite clearly has proven when he's had the opportunity, he's good enough for the City team. He should be getting more minutes. If he were to get more minutes, I think Gareth Southgate should take him, but I seriously doubt that he will. In forward areas, again, you're going to have Jadon Sancho, you're going to have Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, Marcus Rashford, Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's in and out of the Chelsea team. He's not a starter, the guaranteed starter at the moment. Tammy Abraham as well, Callum Wilson, some interesting names in there. Obviously, we don't know who in 6 months' time is going to be fit or injured. That's another factor to take in mind when you're picking the squad, is that a player might get a serious injury, a player might go seriously out of form, a player that's injured like Ruben Loftus-Cheek or a Luke Shaw could come back from injury and be and then play really, really well. So is it a little bit difficult? But plenty. Just a few questions. I think 18 or 19 of that squad is set in stone, but there are still three or four places up for grabs in that England squad. What sort of a 23 would you take to the Euros next year? Call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking all things Premier League. We're going to talk Southampton and Tottenham later in the hour, but up next, we'll be talking all things Liverpool.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Liverpool now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Jonathan Higgins, sports broadcaster and journalist. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Jonathan. During this international break, I'm sure all club managers have their fingers crossed that as many players come back as fit as possible. Liverpool have had quite a few players pull out of international duty for a variety of reasons. Jordan Henderson with a viral infection, Virgil van Dijk due to personal reasons. The other three are injury related, Mohamed Salah, Andrew Robertson and Joe Gomez. What's the likelihood or the updates on those players as to whether they're going to be available for Saturday's game away at Crystal Palace?
Yeah, firstly, afternoon, Kieran. Yeah, now the first thing you have to say is, in terms really of this international window, you get a real vibe of the whole Fergie kind of let's all get our players back to camp as quickly as possible. There's been a couple of situations there you described where the players will come back. Regarding the doubtful players, I think it's going to be very much a case of we'll have to wait and see once the sports science people get hold of the guys, and probably by Thursday we'll have a better idea just how much in contention that the players well are. Of course, the big ones really is, I think, is when you look at the likes of Andy Robson, he's probably slightly better than the likes of Mohamed Salah. I think Salah, we can safely say we're not going to see him until Brighton, so we can rule him out of the equation for the time being. Robertson is probably slightly ahead, but given the big thing really is here, it's not just this game, it's the next bunch of games in this next kind of window of, I suppose, if you look at it really, it's 13 games for Liverpool in 41 days across a couple of different continents, multiple different competitions. It's a real test of rotation, where the last bunch of games he's been able to, pretty much primarily for the league games, he's been able to kind of go with the same guys pretty much over and over again, and we can see that by the number of minutes the key players have done. He's not going to be in a situation where he's going to be able to do that for the next bunch, and recovery is going to be so important, and just how he rotates and kind of reduces the impact of injuries, because there is a high risk. And I don't be surprised if Andy Robertson steps this one out. You see the likes of James Milner play left back. The other one is Joe Gomez. I think he's probably looking like he's going to be okay. This was the main question from his point of view. It's two really questions. There's one from a Liverpool point of view. Is he going to be first choice in this team? You'd probably say probably not, unless you're looking at the option of playing him at left back. The second big issue really is more of a kind of a, I suppose, more of a mental issue in terms of just how he's recovered after what has to be a pretty rough couple of days, really, is the whole saga of what happened in the game of Man City, then what escalated really on from England. By all accounts, it kind of knocked him a bit, and you saw that he left the England game quite early afterwards. So it's understandably how he's going to react. It's a very, very tough time for him. I think there's been a lot of mocking, and there's been the thing that's gone completely wild, but sometimes you have to look at the personal thing. And yeah, to look at it from an overall point of view, it's going to be a big rotation, but the big real thing is it's not just this game, it's the next bunch, because this is a real, real test now for Liverpool. This next month or so is probably going to have a huge impact of how and where Liverpool finish up at the end of the season.
Are there growing concerns, Jonathan, within the Liverpool camp that this injury to Mohamed Salah that was picked up in the latter stage of the game against Leicester, which was before the last international break after a tackle from Hamza Chowdhury, it seems like he's struggled with that ever since. Even when he's been fit enough to play games, he seems to be struggling with that ankle, not playing at 100%. Is there a worry that there's potentially a more serious injury lingering, that if he's going to be completely kind of, if he's going to completely overcome this injury, he might have to sit out a little while?
Yeah, like an ankle injury, like I know for myself and my very, very limited playing appearances, you know, they're one of those injuries that you can be sort of okay, but then you get another bang, as he received in the Man City game. Kind of Fernandinho was a fair tackle, but there was a follow through on it, and his ankle took a big impact. You saw that in the first half. So it's one of those where it has to be managed carefully. I would assume the biggest frustration from a Liverpool point of view is, in my mind, he should never have gone to international camp with Egypt. He should have been left at home to recover with the Liverpool sports science people. And you know, Jurgen Klopp has made a big impact, and one of the big improvements he's made has been off the field as well, and this camp of excellent elite at their game professionals in all aspects of the preparation. So it would have been probably better if he could have skipped that. Don't be surprised to see him kind of take a bit more time. It's a big opportunity now for the likes of Divock Origi to kind of step forward. We've seen it in flashes with him. He's almost this player that's kind of better as a substitute more often than that. When the pressure is off, he seems to thrive. Got to get from Liverpool point of view, you're going to have to look at a situation where he's thriving, he's making those performances from a starting position, and probably a little bit more as well. If you look at it a little deeper, the midfield is very much the engine room of this Liverpool team, particularly the way they're set up. The running that the midfielder is required in the Jurgen Klopp system is quite heavy on the body, so you are going to see more rotation there. And we've seen it in flashes where players have played. You look, you know, you're speaking about your likes of your Chamberlains, he seems to be coming back into form. He's been kind of on a slow reintroduction back into the team. It's been going well. He's been, you know, his goal scoring is appearing to be growing back. He's quite a good goal scoring record in the last couple of games. Again, can he do that from the off? Can he do that week in, week off? Again, similarly, you look at Naby Keita coming back in flashes of brilliance. Again, can he be trusted to start these big games? And you're looking to go a little further, you're like of Adam Lallana, we saw him make the big impact at Old Trafford. He's played, you know, he's played kind of some of the lesser competitions as well. It's these players now where these players kind of were kind of bunched in together, almost like a kind of a secondary bunch of players that kind of were interchanged in the secondary competition, didn't really play a lot of league minutes. Now they're going to have to step in because there's a requirement for them, and it's just how that whole thing is managed, and if Liverpool are in a position where they can make one or two changes and they're kind of interchanged without impacting the performances, that's really where a kind of a situation Jurgen Klopp is going to be. It's going to be a challenge, no doubt, because teams are gunning, and when you are the team in the top, everybody wants to kind of take you down, and opposition players and fans, etc., will rise their game and their performance against it. So it's a challenge going to face, but there's a good structure in place there now, and you hope that Jurgen Klopp can get the best out of the squad, because what will be a very, very testing time.
You mentioned the need for the squad players there. That's Azure and Shaqiri, Divock Origi to step up in what's going to be a very busy period. One of the criticisms aimed at Liverpool at the moment is potentially a lack of squad depth in the front, in the forward areas, that if one of Mane, Firmino, Salah were to get injured, how much would they struggle? Well, the rumours are persisting, linking Liverpool with a move for Borussia Dortmund, an England winger, Jadon Sancho. Obviously, all of the European giants, I'm sure, are very much interested in Sancho. But these rumours are persisting, linking Sancho with a move to Liverpool. Do you think that it's a likely move, that it's a logical move from a Liverpool point of view to really try and push to sign Jadon Sancho?
Yeah, I think that Liverpool, as you said, the links have been so strong now as well, and a lot of mumblings behind the scenes for quite a while. I think it's a move, if there is any movement to be made, I don't see it happening until summer. I don't really see Jurgen Klopp spending really in this January window, unless there's a freak run of injuries or suspensions or something out of this ordinary. The only deal that he potentially might line up is a kind of a buy to loan back deal, or set up a deal for the summer. I really can't see him dipping his toes into the market on this side of the window. He's so German in that regard. He's so stubborn in his ways, and he's been strong with his principles. And there is a reason why. You've seen how long players take to reintroduce. Even take Fabinho at the moment, who's probably the most informed midfielder in the Premier League at the moment. It took him quite a while to settle into the Liverpool system. You similarly with Andy Robertson, etc., etc. I could go on and go on. There's such a strong squad spirit and group and togetherness in the group, which is fantastic, don't get me wrong, for situations where you're going here and now. But for something new to come into that, to learn the system, it does take time. So I really don't see him. He is a player that Liverpool are very much interested in. But again, any potential move won't be until summer. And he's one of these players where it won't just be Liverpool be interested. I feel it'd be a perfect situation to fit in. Now, that being said, his form has dipped a little bit, I think, the last 12 for Dortmund, but you do feel like he's a player that would thrive under Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool.
Looking ahead then, finally, Jonathan, to the weekend, away at Crystal Palace on Saturday. Not an easy game at all away at Selhurst Park, especially off the back of an international break where lots of players have been flying around the globe. There are a number of injury doubts that everyone talks about games away from home at the Big Six, but these are banana skins that can be a real obstacle if you don't show the right attitude, if you allow them to, I suppose.
Yeah, it's always difficult, as you said, players coming back from the four corners of the earth pretty much. And you looked at the first game back after the last international break, the performance wasn't great. There was a good bit of spirit to come back at the end of the game in the Manchester United game at Wade Old Trafford, but the performance was a dip compared to the other performances of the season. Yeah, Palace is always that bogey team. Everybody repeats that crazy night all those years ago with the 3-3. But Liverpool's record against Palace at the moment is quite well, is quite good. They haven't lost in the last five there. The record outside the top six, we call them the big six teams, if we're coming to that bracket now. They haven't lost to a non-big six team since January 18. Similarly, they haven't lost in London since May 18. So the Liverpool records are quite strong. It's a game where Selhurst Park will be absolutely blaring it. They will be looking for a big result for their team to kind of kickstart their season as well. So it is, don't get me wrong, it's going to be a difficult team. They're a dangerous team, particularly if we are looking at a situation where there is a couple of changes. And if Andy Robinson doesn't make, and you're looking at a James Miller at left back, don't be surprised you see Zaha to move over the right hand side to have a run at Miller. That'd be only understandable. But yeah, no, they are a dangerous team. But you'd have to fancy, given the form, and not only the form, given the spirit the Liverpool are in and the performances they showed and all aspects to the game, really. From there's a bit of grind, there's a big bit of spirit being shown, and you know, it's such a good set of results so far. You'd have to focus Liverpool that they will be able to roll up the sleeves. But it is a difficult task. But there's going to be loads more of these tasks, and you'd have to fancy Liverpool to get the job done.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Jonathan. That was Jonathan Higgins, sports broadcaster and journalist. It's not going to be easy away at Crystal Palace on the weekend. We're talking about Jadon Sancho there. I'm not going to lie, I would love him at Liverpool. He'd be, what a sign that would be. As Jonathan did mention, his form has slightly dipped for Dortmund in recent weeks. Maybe that's linked to all these rumours that are continuing to persist about him being linked with a move away. I think it is most likely that it's going to happen next summer. But would Dortmund think maybe actually getting a huge amount of money for him in January and moving him on, considering they know he's going to move? They've already admitted that he's not going to be with them next season. Might they be tempted to make him or to allow him to move in January? As a Liverpool fan, I'd love him at Liverpool, but I think a lot of clubs around the world would also fight tooth and nail for him. There is going to be one hell of a bidding war, and I think that's exactly what Borussia Dortmund want. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we'll be going down to the South Coast and talking all things Southampton.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be going down to the South Coast. And to talk all things Southampton, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ben Stanfield from the Total Saints podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ben. When you look at the Premier League table, it's perhaps not the greatest thing to look at if you're a Southampton fan at the moment. Second from bottom, 8 points, 4 defeats out of the last 5. Is this a time where you make sure you avoid looking at the Premier League table, or does it act as a motivation to try and get yourself out of this trouble?
I think as a Southampton fan, Kieran, we've spent many, many years probably trying to avoid the Premier League table, to be honest with you, because it's never been overly good viewing. But yeah, I mean, look, the pressure's on at the moment, isn't it? I think you would say, hopefully, that the